And today we're going to talk about emoji. And I have many ways I can go that I'm going to exercise restraint because I won't even mention my daughter's favorite emoji. But if you go in my office, you will find it in there. If you use emojis, they're on your cell phone and that you use within texting, and they're in your emails. You can use those different crazy faces and stuff. There's even a movie about them now. But they're all used to express emotions. And emotions are so fun and so annoying, aren't they? They're just up and down. They're crazy. They're controlled. They're uncontrolled. They're everywhere. And I don't know about you, but have you ever felt sad? Have you ever felt mad? Or maybe that's putting it lightly. Maybe you'd use a different word. Maybe you felt irate. Ever felt depressed? Ever felt scared, anxious? Any of those negative feelings? And while sometimes we might say, and we understand that experiencing those emotions initially isn't necessarily a problem or sinful, but sometimes some of us might experience anger more frequently than we realize. Have you ever had someone tell you you're mad all the time? And you thought, no, I'm not. And then they start listing some of the reasons why you've been mad and how often you've been mad. And then usually what we want to do with that is we want to say, well, if everybody else was nicer to me, I wouldn't be mad all the time. And if you're saying that, I'm sorry, you might have an anger problem. And sometimes those emotions become chronic, don't they? That's what we get the word depression from, when you have chronic sadness or we're chronically angry, bitter, sour, we're a cranky person. I know we have some men that are seniored in our church, but I know we don't have any grumpy old men. That's correct, right? there are a lot of negative emotions out there, and we've all experienced probably every one of them. We much prefer the positive emotions, joy and happiness, peace and rest. I was praying for that throughout the weekend for myself, peace and rest. Stability, emotional security, to feel fine. We long for those pleasure, delight, exhilaration, excitement. Anybody like roller coasters? Okay. Yes, my mother-in-law enthusiastically says yes. My grandfather, who's passed away now 18 years ago at the age of 80, he rode roller coasters into his 70s. He loved roller coasters, and we do it because of the exhilaration of it. It feels good. And we spend a lot of our lives trying to feel good. Now, we understand limitations. We know, and all of us, I think, are wise enough to know that things aren't going to always go our way. That there's going to be times that there's going to be negative experiences where we might not get everything we want. We might not become rich. Everybody might not be our friend. We might not be good at everything. We understand that. But sometimes we just want to be content. We just want to be fine with life. We just want to be carefree. We don't want to be stressed. And we spend a lot of time trying to get comfortable. We spend a lot of activity and energy. We work our jobs sometimes very passionately to work towards at some point just being comfortable in our lives. We have certain behaviors that come from that. We say things, all of those things to pursue, just trying to get comfortable. We're trying to decrease the negative emotions and increase the positive ones. And as much as that might seem that that's a selfish thing, maybe even a sinful thing, did you know that God wants you to be comfortable? And what I mean by that is not lukewarm, not comfortable in your sin, but God wants you to be at peace. He wants you to have that. In fact, Jesus makes these statements. He says, take my yoke in Matthew 11:29. And all the references are on the back of your bulletin. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your souls. Then Jesus would say later in John 14:27, my peace I give to you. John 15:11, that my joy may be in you. In fact, that's why we would get commands like in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. God wants us to have joy and peace and contentment. He wants us to be in that place. And He knows why we need to be there, because it affects what we do, doesn't it? I mean, we don't want to treat that person that way, but when we get angry, when we get hurt, when we're sad, we treat them that way. We don't want to give in to sin, but when we have cravings that are not dealt with, we fall into sin. We don't want to withdraw and not do the things that God calls us to do, but if we're afraid, if we're anxious, if we're stressed, sometimes we tend to withdraw, and we don't do the things that God has called us to do. That's why Jesus knows we need peace and rest and joy and all of those emotions. But there's a challenge there. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Now, how do we alleviate this problem, our emotions? Because our emotions sometimes can go crazy. Have you ever, your emotions go crazy and you step, have you ever almost have an out-of-body experience where you thought, who is that guy? I see that guy. He's very irate, and I see what he's doing, but who is that guy? Have you ever had that before? Have you ever, maybe the next day or after you finished losing your mind, you look back on the situation and you think, I didn't plan that at all. I didn't mean for that to happen. And we lose because our emotions, when they get strong, your emotions, they just can grab a hold of you by the shirt collar and just drag you who knows where. They're powerful. And Buddha, who we know is a false teacher, and the Buddhists teach this still because they understood that a lot of our problems stem from our emotions. And so their solution was to eliminate emotions altogether, to just get to the state where I don't care about anything, because they believed if I didn't care about anything, then I wouldn't get mad. I wouldn't get sad. I wouldn't get angry. I wouldn't lash out at people if I didn't care anymore. But the problem is, if you don't care anymore, then you don't have love. You don't have joy. You don't truly have peace. You don't have delight. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't have those things. God didn't want us to eliminate emotions, but He wants us to not give full vent to them, because there has to be some restraint there. Because if you just let your emotions do whatever they want to do, you're going to be inconsistent and you're going to lose your mind. And then I'm going to visit you at Western Psych later. Because we need stability, we need balance. It can't just be that I let my emotions dictate what I do and think, but it can't just be that I don't feel anymore, that I become numb. Somehow, I have to learn how to have feelings. But Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, and we'll get to later specifically why He says this in the coming weeks, but He says a line in John 14, 1 that gives us an implication here. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Some translations say, do not be troubled. That implies there that we have the capacity to not be troubled in our hearts. Now, we understand that derives itself from God's power, that we can't do it in and of ourselves, but Jesus' statement there implies that I can get to a place where my heart is not troubled, where I have a happy heart. Now, don't misunderstand me, because I've heard a lot of people say that the Lord wants me to be happy, so, and then you tell me what they're going to do. And listen, just because the Lord wants you to be happy doesn't mean that He wants you to go there or to do that or to not do that. That's not what we're saying. But the Lord doesn't want you to be sad. He doesn't want you to be miserable. In fact, even though He allows suffering in our lives, that was never His original intention. He never wanted us to experience death and loss and fear and heartache. That was never God's intention. And that's still not what God takes pleasure in. He does not want us to experience those things, though sometimes He lets them come in our lives. He wants us to get to a place that despite those things are around me, I have joy and peace and contentment, and I have a happy heart. But how do we take hold of that? How do we take hold of that happy heart? Like most things, the best analogy is food. Anybody like food? All right, we're going to make you hungry here. Bonnie, if you would, get ourselves ready. I love food, and those of you who've been to Food and Fellowship and seen me eat, you know that I love food. And I have surprised some of you because I have still a relatively high metabolism. And so, as you can see, if you can see, maybe I'd step from behind the podium. I can burn off a lot of calories and I could put down a lot of food. Because I love food. It tastes good, doesn't it? Especially things like loaded nachos. Have you ever had loaded nachos? You get cheese in there, sour cream, maybe some guacamole in there. You got some beans and some meat and some beef in there. And that tastes good. It feels good going in your mouth. It feels good going down. And that's just the appetizer. Because you can't just eat just nachos. I mean, that's not a meal. You need a meal. So maybe we're going to get like some brats or a hot dog or something like that. And that's just starting us off a little bit. John is always so kind to me. He brings, not brats, what are those? Kibasi. He brings kibasi usually on Food and Fellowship. And he, a lot of times he'll leave one aside to make sure I get one because I go through last. And so he's kind. I love kibasi. You sink your teeth into it and it's like your body's dancing a jig, right? Feels amazing. And especially Chicago does a lot of foods great. Have you ever had a Chicago-style hot dog? It has all the right stuff on it. It is amazing. Life feels great when you eat Chicago-style hot dogs. Or Chicago-style pizza. Now, this isn't Chicago-style pizza, but it's pizza nonetheless, and you can't go wrong with pizza. 98% of us love pizza, and the rest of us are at Western Psych. I'm teasing. Please don't leave the church over that comment. And just in case we had something on the pizza that didn't taste delightful, like the crust, we decide to infuse as much cheese as possible in that crust so that it tastes still amazing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we're not, yeah, some of you are ordering a pizza later, and pizza is not just enough. You can't just stop at just pizza. We need more food, right? You're not getting hungry, are you? Maybe some burgers and fries, especially if you got some bacon on there. Depending on your fancy, if you like blue cheese on there or some guacamole or some barbecue sauce and just really spice that up. And some of you, your mouth is watering right now because food makes me feel good, right? And then in case you're still hungry, now, I won't say it because maybe you haven't been there, but have you been to places where there's like 7-course meal, there's just like food after food, or it's like a buffet and there's just food everywhere? Thank you, Lord, for high metabolism in those moments. Because maybe you like baked lasagna. So cheesy, so good. And if you've ever had it, Carol's lasagna is one of the best lasagnas in the world. And again, you put it in your mouth and it's like, is this what heaven is like? This feels amazing. There is, all your problems go away, and if they don't go away with the food, then they go away with the sweets, right? Some restaurants might serve for your dessert donuts. Sometimes you just have them in the morning, breakfast of champions. My favorite donuts is the long ones with the chocolate icing on the top and not pudding, not custard in the middle, but whipped topping in the middle. And as Homer Simpson says, donuts. And if you're not a donut person, there are other desserts like cookies. Now, these aren't my favorite, but they're close to the top. My favorite are Buckeyes. Love Buckeyes. And Anna Myers is not here because I was hoping she would be, so she'd make me some Buckeyes later with that comment. But I love these, especially coming hot right out of the oven. They just melt and it's like they just go into your body and they make you turn into a hot tub. Oh, life is amazing. Cookies. Or if you don't like cookies, maybe you like brownies. And the best brownies are Ghirardelli chocolate chunk brownies, if you've ever had those. Amazing. And I'm sorry, we don't have food to serve afterwards. But there is a Coons right up the road if you need any. Or my favorites are either cheesecake or ice cream. And if we need a nice ice cream sundae, you could put some chocolate sauce on there or some caramel or some peanut butter sauce. You could throw some nuts on there, maybe some M&Ms on there or some Oreos or Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm so sorry. But not really, no. Food is good, isn't it? Food feels amazing. It makes us feel happy. And if you're thirsty, maybe you're going to wash it down with a nice ice glass cold of Pepsi. Maybe some of you are a Coke person. Now, I personally like ginger ale, or if I'm going to throw caution through the wind and lose all my restrictions, I might eat my favorite, and that's Dr. Pepper. Anybody like Dr. Pepper? Oh, I only have Dr. Pepper once every 5 years or so. But when I do, it's like I've been transported into heaven. The problem is, no, it's not nasty. The problem is that when we eat this food, it feels so great going down, but next day we feel miserable. All our joints feel creaky, our stomach feels disgusting, we are lethargic, we feel sad. We just felt on cloud nine the day before, and now we feel miserable. And it depends on what kind of food as far as how fast it hits you. I don't eat McDonald's, because if I eat McDonald's, it feels so good in my mouth, but within 5 minutes, I feel awful. And that's all it takes for it to just go down there and just kicks me right in the stomach. Why is it like that? Because we know that deep down inside, the food we should be eating is broccoli. Broccoli. Well, yeah, so we say, we can handle broccoli as long as it's done up right, correct? Let's see how it's done up right. That's how we can eat broccoli like that. But we know that eating broccoli like that still makes us feel lousy. Cheese just kind of ruins you. You have to know where the facilities are. Because we know we really shouldn't grab for the ranch or grab for the dressing. If we're going to really feel good, then we need to eat the right stuff without all the wrong stuff in between. So we really need to eat more vegetables and fruit. Go ahead, Bonnie. Oh, yeah, maybe we do need to eat it like that. Some of you can't get enough vegetables in your life, so you're going to drink it like that. Or maybe you want to try it like this. I'm not sure what that is, but apparently it's healthy for you. And maybe we don't need to eat it in those forms, but we know that we really, when we want to grab for the chocolate or grab for the cookies or grab for the baked lasagna, sorry Carol, it still tastes great, but we should probably grab for the vegetables and fruit and more vegetables and more fruit. And in case you were feeling good, then you need to grab, now you're good, and you can grab for something else besides, more fruit and more vegetables. And because you know vegetables never make you feel full, so you just have to keep eating more and more and more of them. And before you say, well, I love fruit, and yes, I love fruit too, and fruit is sweet, and before you say, well, I also love vegetables, probably the vast majority of you at some point did not love vegetables. Because I know that at some point you looked like this when you ate vegetables. Because we don't like it. But if you put the right stuff in you, you feel great. And we talk about in the diet world that we need to eliminate the toxins out of our body to make us feel good. The same holds true within our emotions. Because if you don't, sometimes you feel like this. And I was using restraint because there is a more expressive form of this emoji. Some of you here today, you feel sad. And it's been a long time before you have not felt that way. Some of you, you're stressed. You feel anxious. You feel like that guy up there. That's how you feel towards life. And God doesn't want you to be in that place. That's why Jesus said, I have come to give you rest, to give you life to the full. That's why he could command you to rejoice in the Lord always, because he knew that he can say, do not let your heart be troubled. Because right there for the taking for us is a happy heart. Not changed circumstances, not more money, not better friends, not a better marriage, not better children, but a happy heart in the midst of it. And how can I have that? I can have that if I eliminate toxins. The first toxin is this, and it's an obvious one, sin. If sin is there in our lives, we know the wages of sin is death. And so as sin dwells there, ferments in there, eventually you start to feel sad. You start to feel anxious. You start to feel stressed. You don't feel right about life because sin is destructive. In fact, the Psalms adds a couple of comments to us regarding our emotions and sin. Psalm 31:10, when speaking of sorrow and sighing, it then says, "My strength fails because of my iniquity." My emotional strength in context there falls apart because sin present in my life. Psalm 32:10 says, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked." If I have sin in my life, you're just at some point you're going to feel miserable. You are. And just like that great food, sin is pleasing for a moment, but in the end brings death. And so if you want to get out of depression and sadness and all those things, first we've got to get rid of that sin. Now don't misunderstand me, because that doesn't mean that might be the root cause of your despair and your issue. And we'll get to those as we work our way through these series. But we have to start with getting the toxins out of our lives. Don't you hate when the doctor tells you, well, you just need to exercise more and eat right? Come on. I don't want to do that. And God sometimes acts like that annoying doctor. You want to feel better about your life? Get that out. Come on, Lord, seriously. Sin. Second one reveals itself in a couple of statements here. First, Psalm 16:4 says, "The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply." Now, let me explain that for a second here, because we sometimes, when we think God, we think some statue somewhere that we bow down to, or we mentioned Buddha before, those golden Buddha statues. That's what we think of when we think false god, or if we think of false religion, we just think of Islam, and again, Buddhism, Hinduism, and those sort of things. But when the scripture says false god, it just includes those things. False god, you see, the only one who sits on the throne, the only one who is worthy to have authority in our lives, the only one that we should truly be in subjection to, without question, do whatever he says, is God. And if anything rises up in your life that takes that place, that prevents you, hinders you from submitting yourself to God, that has become your god. Whether it's a car, whether it's a friend or a pursuit, whether it's possessions, no matter what it is, if it has stopped you from seeking God and giving authority over to God, it has become your god. Philippians says that our god can become our stomach, just our cravings in and of themselves. And so if we have a false god, there's a concern here. And then add to that, in Luke 18, Jesus comes across a man who was called the rich young ruler. And he felt off. He felt like something wasn't right. He didn't feel good in his spirit. So he came to Jesus and said, and the big question for him was, he didn't feel he was right with the Lord. And so he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, do you do the commandments or do you know them?" And the man quotes some of them, or Jesus quotes some of them. And the man says, "Well, I've done that. I'm doing the commandments and I don't feel good. What's wrong, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Well, one thing you lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor." Now, that does not mean that every rich man needs to sell everything he has and give it to the poor. But Jesus pointed his finger on something. That man had an idol. He had a false god. Because what he chose was, he chose to not give up the money when God in flesh was with him asking him to give it up. And if there's anything you have that God is saying, give it up, and you won't give it up, that has become your god. And you know what happened to that rich young ruler? In Luke 18:23, it says he went away very sad because he had something else in his life that was in the place of God. 1 Timothy 6 says this line, "If we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Jesus says in Matthew 6:31-33, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you have. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't have anything. Nothing in the bank account. Perhaps it's overcharged, overdrafted. You don't have anything. Be content with what you have. And where Buddha missed it, because Buddha said, get rid of all your cravings and all your desires. That's not where the toxin is. You know what the toxin is? The toxin is unchecked cravings. Because God, it's not a sin to want to have something. I have a dream of mine to one day own a boat, a nice motor boat, whether it's a speedboat or whatever, and be able to, on a nice cool day like today, go hop out on the river over there and just have a great time. There's nothing sinful about wanting to have that boat. There's nothing sinful if I end up having that boat. Some of you might want to have a nice house one day, or some of you are into classic cars and you want an antique car. Some of you like certain kinds of clothing. Some of you go hunting and you like certain kinds of gear and certain types of guns and what have you. We have things that we want in life. There's nothing wrong and sinful with wanting things. Some of you want a spouse. Some of you want children. Some of you want a certain way of living. And there's nothing wrong with that unless. Because see, God says he'll give you the things that you want. He's like a good father who, if we can give good gifts to our children, how much more can he? He wants us to be happy and blessed. And throughout the Old Testament, those who follow him, God said, I will bless you abundantly. He wants us to be happy, not necessarily rich, not have everything that we want. But here's the unchecked craving. As you see, some of us have attached, well, first of all, it's become a god. Some of us have objects in our lives. Some of us have pursuits in our lives that have become more important than pursuing God. Some of you are pursuing careers. Some of you are pursuing possessions and hobbies that are hindering you from doing the things God is calling us to do, and that's become your god. But others of us, deeper beneath that, we've attached our joy to a thing. Our joy to a pursuit, or our joy to a person. Because what happens, if you've ever known that guy that has that antique car, that keeps it perfectly polished, keeps it protected from all kinds of elements, if a slightest bit of scratch shows up, have you ever seen that guy when that happens? He loses his mind. We need Western Psych on speed dial this morning. You want to know why? Because all his joy, all his pleasure, all his delight is wrapped up in that object. And before you say that, well, I had a right to be mad at whatever, most of the time, as much as we, and we like to use that statement, I think it's in Ephesians that says, be angry but do not sin. Well, see, I could be angry, but you got to understand that the anger usually is righteous indignation, and righteous indignation is not against your own injustice that's been done to you, but the injustice that's done to others and the injustice that's done to the glory of God. That's what we get upset about. Most of the time, probably 90%, 99% of the time, when you get mad, it has to do with you. You don't like it that way. You don't like to be treated that way. You didn't want to lose that thing. And the reason why we sink into depression and despair and anxiety and we're scared because we're afraid we're going to lose that thing or that pursuit or that dream or that person. And if all your stuff is wrapped up in one of those things, then at some point it's going to go. They sang an amazing song for us. I don't remember the title, but it was talking about trusting in God and God clothes us and then strips us and he gives us and then he takes it away and all of that stuff. That's life. Life is, everything we have here is temporary, and it comes and it goes. And if you're only going to be happy if you have that thing, and most of us here, I bet you could already think of the things that you need to have that thing to be happy, then you're setting yourself up because you have a toxin in your life. We cannot have unchecked cravings. We have to make sure that in our heart, I'm okay if I lose that thing. And don't misunderstand me. We can grieve when we lose a loved one. But if all your joy and all your peace is attached to that person, then that's why it goes when the person leaves this earth. The only person who can truly, that's why it says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only person that can truly maintain joy and peace and happiness within our heart is him, Jesus Christ. And if we attach all of that to Him, then when the marriage goes, when the health goes, when the possessions go, when the car goes, when the dream goes, when the pursuit goes, when I lose my job and it goes, I don't despair and I don't lose my joy, and I can walk with a skip and a jump because I am rejoicing in the Lord always, because my joy isn't in that stuff. But you have two options. You can respond like the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler's response when called to lose his stuff was he walked away with great sorrow. Or he could be like Abraham, who finally possessed his promised son at about the age of 12. And when God said, I want to take him, he was willing to let him go. And if you have that outlook to life, what can they take from you then? What can they do to you if your outlook is, as long as I have him? Because it says that it is by Jesus that all things are sustained, that are upheld. And that's where we need to find our joy, eliminating toxins of sin, of unchecked cravings. This next one's going to be a hard one. Not that they were all easy, but the toxin of grudges. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. No root of bitterness. The moment you just slightly start to, that guy's annoying. The more you just slightly, I don't want to be around that person. The more you just slightly, I can't stand that. And I'm sure none of you have ever heard those words coming out of your mouth. The moment it's there, it's a root that gets into your heart. And as much as you think you'll have your vengeance and you'll get them back, what happens is it implants sadness and despair and sorrow and anxiety. And at some point down the road, you're plagued with those things and you don't know why. And you're taking pills and you're seeing the counselor and you're trying to figure out the solutions. You're reading the book, all because there's a weed in there that just needs to be pulled out. Some of you have been bearing a grudge against someone who's no longer even alive. What do they care about your grudge? Besides, the vast majority of time when you're bearing a grudge and you're showing that person that cold shoulder and you're trying to just keep that hatred towards that person, the vast majority of time, that person doesn't even know that you're mad at them. They don't even know they did anything wrong to you. And you find yourself miserable and cranky and angry and stressed and mad at the world, and you can find no joy because you bear a grudge against another person. And you might say, well, it's not fair what they did. It was not right what they did. They should not get away with that. Fine, if you want to live a life of misery, then go ahead. But the only way to get that root out is to not bear a grudge. That's why Jesus said, you see, the apostles, they came to him when he talked about this whole idea of forgiveness, and they said, well, how many times do I need to forgive? And he said, 77 times 7. Can someone do the math real quick? Okay, no, that's the reason why he said that. He didn't say that so that you would find the answer and you would keep tabs, and when you get to that number, say, all right, I don't have to forgive you anymore. You made it, put 77 times 7. I'm good. I'm not forgiving that guy. That's not what his goal was. His goal was to give you such a large number that you couldn't even keep track of it. Because what are you counting, the same sin over and over again, or is it different sins, and how is he trying to calculate that anyway? Some of you feel like that guy. And as much as you're pointing the fingers elsewhere, you're eating donuts for morning breakfast and dinner, and you're wondering why you have an upset stomach. There are some people who are so addicted to cigarettes that they will smoke it through their trach. There are some people who have such a bad cholesterol problem and have had massive heart attacks, and they're still eating every day all the first foods that we showed, because they have unchecked cravings, because they don't care, because they feel like that guy. And some of you are infusing toxins in your spirit, sin, unchecked cravings, grudges, and lastly, people. The wrong kind of people, don't misunderstand me, because Proverbs says this, Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. You can add that line that bad company corrupts good morals. There is someone in your life. Now, you need to check this, because if you're tempted to do this, sometimes we need to cut certain people out of our lives. Sometimes we need to end relationships. Before you do that, you need to check with, run it by me. If you're in a coaching group, run it by your coach, or a connection group, run it by your connection group partner. But you need to be careful with that choice, because I've seen some people sever family relationships over nonsense issues. So don't misunderstand me. But there are some people in your life that are toxic to you. They are creating bitterness and anger and animosity that wouldn't be there otherwise. And God might today be calling you to end that, to get that toxin out of your life. Because sometimes we're with some people, and if you're hanging around with 10 people who are depressed, and don't misunderstand me, we need to help people out, and we need to see people through. But if day in and day out you're just sitting and chatting it up with 10 people who are depressed, and you start feeling depressed, it's just what happens. Everybody's feelings rubs off on each other. If you're around that person who keeps saying, yeah, so-and-so, you know about so-and-so? They're such an awful person. I mean, they're just so mean and nasty, and I think there's something wrong in their spirit. I think they're possessed. And I hate them, and they did this, and this is, I knew that they did this because of this reason and that reason. And you know what happens at some point? You start to feel the same way. You were best friends with the person. You didn't have any problem with them at all, and all of a sudden, you hate the guy. Because of the people that, because hatred stirs up strife. Proverbs says in Proverbs 18 that the words of the whisperer is like dainty morsels, but it goes into the innermost parts of the body. And some of you, you don't want to get away because it's like watching a train wreck. But there are some people that are toxic to your soul. And Jesus says, do not let, not try not to let it happen, not, well, hopefully it won't happen. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. We should never lack joy. We should never lack peace. We should never feel emotionally secure if we are found that everything, all our hopes, all our joy, all our peace, all our love, all our dreams are wrapped up in the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. Yes. Don't you want to be happy today? Yes. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Again, don't misunderstand me. Some of you here today, you might not have any of these toxins in your life. Your spiritual diet might consist of broccoli without the cheese. But I think some of you here today, you find yourself sad, stressed, anxious, depressed, angry, vengeful, cranky, because you have toxins in your soul. And in a moment, the worship team is going to lead us. They can begin playing now, but if that's you today, you feel sad, angry, fearful, you're not happy with life, you seem unable to cope. Because again, our circumstances don't always need to change. But you just don't seem to have the capacity to cope. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled, and it just doesn't seem to be within reach for you. And my question for you this morning is, why is that so? Is it possible that some of you, you're allowing that sin to stay within your spirit and you're experiencing the wages of sin is death? And as the worship team leads us, you need to choose, if you want a happy heart, to repent of that sin and turn from it. I'm not talking about sins years ago that you've since turned away from. I'm talking about that sin that's still lingering there. I'm not talking necessarily about a big sin. Any number of sins can lead us astray and lead us to cause that anxiety and that stress and that guilt and that shame. And in a moment, as they lead us, you need to come to this altar and you need to kneel and you need to lay that sin as a sacrifice before God and ask Him to take it. You need to commit that you're going to repent and turn from that sin. Why is it you feel sad, angry, fearful? You're not happy. You can't cope. Is it because you have unchecked cravings? When I was praying over this message, I believe, I still believe, that there's someone here today, that there's something you're going to give away after today. And you value whatever that thing is to a great deal. But some of you here today, you're the rich young ruler. Don't misunderstand me. You've been trying to not apply that verse to yourself because you don't really have wealth. But there's a thing you have, there's a person you have, there's a pursuit you have that you've attached all your hopes onto that, all your joy, that as long as I have that, and I believe today, some of you, God's calling you to give it away today. And you're going to find joy and peace and delight and a happy heart like you've never had before. Some of you, maybe you're not being called to give it away, but you definitely need to lower the status of that thing beneath God. And you need to confess, God, I've had a false idol before you, and I need to surrender it to you and no longer attach my hopes and my joys to that thing. Some of you here today, you're dealing emotionally with the things you're dealing with because of the hatred that's in your soul. As I said, and I'm feeling it affirmed again in my spirit, there's someone here, you have contained or maintained animosity against someone who's no longer alive. And that's robbing you of your joy, your peace, your comfort, and your ability to live free in Christ. And you need to give that up to God. No longer holding on. Sometimes we think it's our right to hold on to our anger. It's our right to be mad. Why do you want to rot your soul? So today, some of you are going to come forward and you're going to surrender those grudges. And today you're going to have to make that painful phone call to say, I'm sorry for bearing this grudge against you. Maybe they did all the wrong actions, but you've been keeping a grudge. Do you want to remain in despair? Do you want to remain anxious? Or do you want to find that you can truly say, I will not let my heart be troubled? Maybe it's people. Maybe there's a person that you need to release, that you need to just stop pursuing. You need to stop being around that person because they're toxic, because when you're around them, you sour, you become worse. That's hard. That's a hard decision to make. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about a marriage. All right? God wants our marriages to stay intact. I'm not talking about a marriage. I'm talking about a person. And again, I want you to be careful with that choice. Run it by a trusted person. But there's some of you, you've been holding on to a relationship that really should not be there. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus says, come and give me your burdens and I will give you rest. My peace I give to you. I want my joy for you to know in its fullness. Do you want to have that today? The question is, are you willing to let go of the food that tastes so good going down but makes you miserable? If you need to deal with those things before God, then come as the worship team leads us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a reason why the scripture says he is the wonderful counselor. You see, counseling and psychology, throw away the garbage in it, but the root of it comes from the Lord, because he is the one who can counsel us and lead us out of the darkness and out of the despair and find joy and hope and life and all of that good stuff. Today, some of you are going to find your diet's going to change, right? maybe not in the form of those shakes or whatever that stuff was, but maybe you're going to never look at one of those emojis the same. And some people tease me in my text. I often include an emoji in there, and that's because you can't tell tone in a text. So a lot of times I'm thinking, I want to make sure that you know I'm still happy. I'm not mad. And some of you are wondering, what is he texting when he's saying that? Or a winky face or any of those things. We're meant to be emotional people. And I forgot to share this. I was going to share this. Before you think you're not an emotional person, because have you ever talked to someone who said that, well, I'm not emotional, because we think an emotional type person is the one who cries all the time. And I'm not really a crier, and I hate movies that make you cry, and so I avoid them like the plague. But have you ever had someone tell you that they're not an emotional person only to find the right button get pushed and they lose their mind with anger? I thought you had no emotions. We're all emotional. We might not be all demonstrative or overly expressive, but all of us are filled with emotion. And it's because we're made in the image of God, because God is filled with emotion. And He wants us to have His peace and His joy and His delight. He wants us to enjoy life. And I'm telling you, you live a life in the Spirit, you're going to enjoy life. You might suffer. You might face hardship. You might face darkness. But there's nothing more exhilarating than walking in step with the Spirit and sawing Him turn on a light in a dark place. There's nothing more exhilarating than sensing His pleasure when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And His joy is available. That happy heart is there for the taking. You excited? You excited? God's going to heal us. Amen. He's going to heal us. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us as we go in Our God is Greater, because I love that line, if my God is for us, then who can ever stop us? Nothing, this world can throw nothing at you if all your hope and joy is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the sustainer, that the world was created by the Word of God. We have great days ahead. Amen. If you're here with us for the first time, just want to remind you before you go, go step out these double doors, last door on your left. There's a welcome center for you. We have some refreshments for you. I'll be back there momentarily with a gift for you in exchange for that communication card. But next week, this week we learned what the problem was. Next week we're going to find out what some of the solutions are. Do not let your heart be troubled. Amen.